services this morning here at Bethel Baptist, the Crest Springs Baptist. We welcome you who are joining us online. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We'll start the services by taking our hymnals and turning to hymn number 19. Let's turn to hymn number 146. And if you're able, we'll stand there and sing. 146.
Church that you provided for us, dear Lord. We just thank you for our pastor, Brother Jim and Brother John, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you that you thought so much about us that you would just take care of us like this. And we pray, Lord, that you just open our hearts and minds this day that we might get closer to you.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that you just go with us now and watch over us. Be with each and everyone on the prayer list, dear Lord. We know who they are. We know you can. You are the great physician, dear Lord. You can meet their each and every need. We pray, Lord, that you just go with us and watch over us and go with this service now. We ask these things in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to remember those announcements of the Church of God continue to bless. Belcher Meeting of Grace in our area wide this month will be the 24th, I believe it's 23rd or 24th. I'm pretty sure it's the 24th of this month, February. So you may want to check that. It is a Saturday night, on whatever day that might be. That's at 7 p.m. at Grace Baptist there in Florence. Prayer breakfast there at Grace on the 9th of March. And then our revival coming up the 20th through the 24th. Remember to pray for that. There are announcements that you can hand out. And on our Facebook page, there's an announcement there concerning that. And thanks to the Lord for our visitors today. And God bless each and every one of you. Let us know.
We will turn to hymn number 112. Brother John has a special after we sing this one. 112. No, 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 no. Thank you.
waterfront?
No.
There is not.
Among the apostles, and
We spoke concerning those things about those two men who are blessed of God to be fellow servants with the Apostle Paul and fellow prisoners. And he said that they were in Christ before me. And that's the thing I want to consider this morning, as we did last time. I want to just give a recap on what we spoke about last time. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessing upon us. We thank you for those that are here this morning, and Lord, even those that are online. We pray for those that would be here if they could, and just watch over and guide and keep them. And Lord, what blesses this day, may Jesus Christ be lifted up, which in him we have all things. And in his name we pray. Amen. So this morning, as I said, I want to kind of recap what we were teaching. And you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, is where we kind of left off there last time. And in these verses where the apostle, as he was speaking to the Gentile church there in Rome, he also gave this advice and this true blessing of being in Christ. He put, you might say, meat on the bones. He likened it unto a marriage. As being in Christ, the members of his body. And he says in verse 30, he says, "For we are members of his body," that's Ephesians 5:30, "members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." He says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh." He ends here in this, not the end, but there he says in verse 32, "This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church." Just to make sure you understand, he's not referring to the marriage of a man and woman alone. He's using that as an illustration of the intimacy between him and the members of his body, his church. And he says in verse 33, "Nevertheless, that every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So this is a great mystery, he says, and he speaks concerning him and his church. And except by the revelation of God, I think it's difficult to understand. Probably impossible to understand what this union is, and the fact that we are his body, we're members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones, and it is in truly a great mystery. There have been mountains of books written concerning this subject, and we understand that we are members of his body, we're members of his flesh, his bones. And then having made that statement, as I said, and I can't overemphasize the fact, they said, "This is a great mystery." And I say it's one of the most wonderful and meaningful statements to be found in the pages of inspiration. To be known as a child of God, to be a member of his body, his local church, to be a member of his body, his bone, his flesh. The living, loving, lasting union of Christ with his church and his churches is indeed a great mystery, and it's a great blessing to know. And I don't think we'll ever be able to fathom the depth of it, not in this life, and that we'll ever be able to understand completely the depth of this great sea of blessing. The statement is, it must not be looked upon as just with eyes of cold orthodoxy or doctrinal, theological doctrine. We might just be content to say, "Yes, this is a great important truth," and then leave it there. And I think today we've been guilty of that, not really expounding the subject as we should. As we will look at Lord willing this afternoon, there's a great departure from this truth, even among Baptists, and something I want to teach the church myself. And Brother John knows, of course,
that we need to teach these things, as he is very good. I probably should have given this subject to him anyway, because he's really good at teaching things like this, but I let God tell John what to preach, not me. So anyway, we'll get to that later. But when I'm done preaching, I want you to understand that your heavenly husband, and you are to worship him and bow to him in your heart, and you should rejoice to see such blessed realities that I don't know if our tongue can ever express. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it is said here that to the bride of Christ, we're members of his body, his flesh, his bones. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, you'll see that at the beginning of this letter that Paul, the apostle, is addressing this, and he says we. That little word we there in chapter 1, in verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." So we understand that Paul made this statement, that we is like a door of Noah's Ark, and that we may enter in, and it will either shut us in or out. And I want to ask you, does it shut you in or does it shut you out? Are you in Christ? Are you in him? And now I know we're all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But there's a special sense in which, as the bride of Christ, we're members of his church and members of his local body. And if you're not a member of one of the Lord's local churches, you're not in the bride of Christ. And we'll get into that later on this afternoon. And now, if this is just a doctrinal theory to you, as it was with me for many years, many years I believed these truths. Many years I went probably, I can't imagine, 10, 15 years I thought I was a child of God. But I knew these truths. I knew them in theory. You know what? I didn't know the Savior. I knew Jesus was the Son of God, but I did not believe on him as my Savior. I thought, I'm one elect. What else do I need? You need a living relationship with Christ. That's what you need.
Amen.
And that's what makes our faith real. Chosen in everlasting love, predestined to eternal salvation, accepted and beloved, redeemed by his precious blood, blessed with all spiritual blessings, the forgiveness of sin, the riches of his grace, are all these afforded to those who are members of the Lord's New Testament church. I pray that God would show us his blessings. And this morning, I want to speak concerning the union that we have very quickly, then move on to what this union does for us. This is actually the conclusion of the message I started last Sunday morning. And what is this union? What is this great mystery? Of course, if we could answer it, it wouldn't be a mystery, would it? We're members of his body, his flesh, of his bones. So the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, called by the apostle as a great mystery. And indeed it is. How that he could be completely divine, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, how that could be is a mystery, of course. It's just like the Trinity and the unity of God, the divinity and the humanity of Christ is indeed a deep mystery. Since Paul calls this a mystery. Charles Hodge, an old commentator, said, it's correct in stating that any explanation that dispels that mystery and makes the doctrine taught perfectly intelligible must be false. I agree with Hodge on that. Realize the impossibility of fully answering my question. I will simply give you a few precious truths concerning the fact that we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And as you read the Word of God, you have to realize, and you can't help it if you read the Word of God often, and you should, you can't help but think about what is said of Adam, and what Adam said back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, where he said about Eve, he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So what did Adam actually mean when he used those words? It is the fact that Christ and His church have the same nature. She is flesh of my flesh. She's bone of my bones. Women and men are only different in one way. I think women have one more bone than men do. I don't know anatomy that well, but women and men are flesh and bone. And we're different, and thank goodness for the difference. That's why we have children and grandchildren, and that's why we have another great-grandchild coming. I won't say anything more about that because other people are online right now, but the first thing that's evident is that Christ is making His church and He Himself of the same nature. One very simple meaning of those words is that she was of the same nature and raised as Adam. So we as God's people and the members of His church are of the same nature as Christ. We rejoice to declare that Christ Himself is God over all, blessed forever, that He's the eternal Son of the eternal Father, and that He thought it not robbery to be equal to God. And we worship the Redeemer and the Sovereign Creator, without whom was not anything made that was made. He is the very God of God. Yet our joy, and the very joy of our salvation, is this. Because of the Savior's great love for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took our nature into union with Himself. He became flesh through that virgin womb and took upon Himself our nature. God said He would create us in His likeness. So the Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause? He's not ashamed to call them brethren. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be what? A merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. So the very nature that we have upon this earth once was carried about among us by Jesus Christ Himself. And He is now seated, we're told by Scripture, on the right hand of the throne of God. There's a man, flesh and bone, in heaven. And if there's one, as I've said before, there can be many. So it's necessary that our Redeemer be God, or else He cannot satisfy the justice of God, the holy, infinite wrath of God. It's necessary that He be man because man sinned and must be punished. And you dwell upon this thought for a moment. Jesus Christ is a man like unto the brethren in all things, except one, no sin. Never did He sin. He knew the depressions of our nature. He was cared for like any baby. He was born of a virgin as a man. He was tempted in all points like as we are. And He knew all the pains of our nature. He knew poverty, He knew thirst, He knew sorrow and reproach and slander and treachery. There are mentions of this in the Bible. Jesus Christ was tossed on the stormy sea of life, and for him the ground brought forth briars and thistles. He suffered, he ate, he labored, he rested, he wept, and he rejoiced, just as we do. But he knew no sin. He knew no sin that he might be made sin for us. He could never have been our Savior without that. A man was there. He was indeed a real man, and died upon Calvary for the sins of his people. What a blessed truth. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. He bears our nature in heaven, and we bear his nature upon the earth. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, and everything's all right. So this is what I consider as Jesus Christ lives in us. As we read in Ephesians, it's an intimate relationship likened to that between a man and his wife, husband and wife. And these words imply an intimate relationship. It seems unlikely to me that Adam would have said, "She is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." He had not thought that Eve would disappear. If he thought she might disappear, or that she was some invisible, universal wife, he would have said this. He sees her as him, as he sees himself. He was Adam's helpmate. She was Adam's helpmate, and she was joined to him in the bonds of an intimate communion. And that is based in a blessed marriage. It's a relationship of love and joy and peace. It's divinely ordained upon God's plans to create in this world a government. The home, the family comes before government. It's created to turn away chaos. The more that the family breaks down, the more in this nation, this world that we see marriages breaking down, the more chaos, the more wickedness, the more evil you see. Amen. So God indeed planned this as an intimate relationship. How often have you heard the hand that rocks the cradle shakes the nation? And so true that is. There's no relationship upon earth that is nearer, sweeter, or dearer than a blessed marriage. We understand, as Brother John wrote so well in his lesson this morning, that anything that destroys that relationship is sin. It's bad. It's against God's will. It's against God's way of ordering this world. The woman, as your relationship is to your husband, as your relationship, men, is to your wives, such as that relationship that exists between you and the scripturally baptized believer and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the nearest and dearest and closest, most intense, most intimate relationship that can be imagined. And I'm not saying that you cannot be a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ apart from baptism. I'm not saying that. Don't go out and say, "Brother, Christ is preaching, you have to be baptized to be saved." I'm not. Because the fact is, and the Bible tells us very clearly, that we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we're made members of his body, his church, through baptism.
Amen.
And we'll prove this later on this evening and this afternoon. Children, at least when they're small, They cannot enter into the thoughts and the feelings of their parents. But the wife communes and that with her husband, she is one with him. You know, after your children are older and grown, you have your wife. Call it empty nest. And that's a lasting relationship on this earth. It's more important and it's more dear. The relationship between a husband, a father and his children, a wife and his a mother and her children. It's more dear than that. As dear as that relationship is, and everyone should love their children and provide and care for them and take care of them. But the relationship between a man and his wife, a husband and his wife, is more dear than children. Children are born and raised with separation from their parents, to live on their own and with their own husbands and wives. But husbands and wives are united forever. And we can never explain or understand this deep mystery that our souls are wed to the Son of God. But let us understand that it's true. He espoused us as His bride before the world began. He redeemed us for Himself. He prepared us for our wedding garments. He allured us into the wilderness and won our hearts. He has taken us into union with Himself. Blessed be God, my Maker, my Redeemer, my King, is my husband. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. This is the kind of relationship that you have with Christ. Or is it? I pray that it is. You know Him, not only as your Savior, but as your bridegroom. I pray you do. A mysterious origin. Our Lord said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Had Jesus not suffered and died, He would have been made to abide alone. But He isn't. By His sufferings and death, His church was founded. He founded His church in this world. The church is which it has its origin in the death of Christ. It is the church which is made up of baptized believers. As we go into the waters of baptism, what do we do? We go in there trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. We go into the waters of baptism as a child of God. Then we're buried under that watery grave, and that watery grave, we rise in newness of life. What's that picture? Picture is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And you know, you read your Bible, you'll find that God said, Jesus told us, as many as were believed were baptized, Acts chapter 2. And there were added unto them that day 3,000 souls. You say, well, you make it harder to be a church member than to be a child of God. No, I don't. You have to be baptized to be a member of the church. The local church, the Lord's church. God made it that way, I didn't. We are a loving possession of our Savior. It is a vital union. Without recapping everything, I'm going to try to move along. I'm going to ask you the question, are you one with Christ? We are indeed members of His body, His flesh, and His bones. And there are some things that are secured by this. The most practical and the most blessed truth in the few minutes that remain, I want to give you some things that should make your heart dance with joy before the Lord. So, what does our union with Christ secure for us? Our union with Christ secures our safety. Our beloved head is in heaven. He's over the affairs of man. Nothing comes upon us that is not first goes through His hands. He cares for us just as you as a husband care for your wife. You don't want to see any harm come. You won't allow anything to harm her or bring her pain, if you can prevent it. Our problem is we're limited, aren't we? And God is, Jesus Christ is our husband, and He is our bridegroom, and He is, I keep saying husband, but He's not our husband until the marriage of the Lamb, which we'll look at that later, but He is our bridegroom. He watches over us. We have an intimate relationship. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the call according to his purpose. My security, if it were dependent upon me, would die very soon. But our life in Christ, we have it there and we can never perish, so we're secure. If I'm one with Christ, then I shall certainly enjoy his love. Jesus said, as my Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. So Christ is a bridegroom, a husband who both nourishes and cherishes his bride. We're loved by God with the same love he asked for his Son. And for the same reason, his obedience. We are accepted by the triune Jehovah with the same perfection and fullness, which with he is accepted and for the same reason, his perfect righteousness and his sin atoning blood. We are eternally and unchangeably loved by his Father, and his Father accepted by his Father, and delight in his Father just as he did, and for the same reason. We delight in God, his eternal accomplishments, as our surety. We are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Then he will one day present us to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Soon, blessed thought, he shall appear. And we shall be like him. 1 John tells us, we shall see him as he is. We shall have the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory he will not give to another, but we are one with him, and we shall have his glory. Perfect holiness, perfect rest, we'll sit upon a throne and rule nations. We'll wear a crown, we'll have a perfect joy, a perfect triumph. We'll be heir of all things. We'll be great, just as he is. I haven't even begun to scratch the surface. Our union with Christ has preserved us through all of our days, even through our days of rebellion and unbelief. Our union with our Savior was not altered by our fallen Adam. The prodigal son was just as much his father's son in the far country, where he wasted away his life and his with riotous living, and as he was before he left, he's just as much a son. And his father received him back into his house with compassion and forgiveness. Our union with Christ is always the same. There's a blessed oneness with Jesus Christ that you gain through submission to the waters of baptism. Your first act of obedience is to walk through the waters of baptism with Jesus Christ. Become a member of his body, the local church. You know by your own experience the truth of Paul's words, do you? We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Are you in Christ? Do you have a living union with him? Do you have this loving union with Christ? This lasting union? Rejoice, listen. Thank God for what it is to be in Christ. Yet there's more. Being in Christ, we're members of his body, his flesh, his bones, and our bridegroom is coming. When he does, he will present us unto himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He'll present us unto himself, holy and without blemish before Him in love. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, as the apostle spoke. So shall we ever be with the Lord, where He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now this evening, this afternoon, we're going close to the end of this. I want to show you, if you're not able to be here, at least try and find us again online. Because Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is a warning that the apostle gave to a young preacher. I believe we're in those times. I believe there is indeed a departing from the faith. If there's a departing from it, there must have been at one time people were in that faith. If our Lord doesn't return before my departure, or for some reason I or John are no longer your pastor, this message coming up is intended to teach you the truth about the Lord's church, that many are this very day departing. May God enable us to truly see and preach and recognize and witness to the importance of the Lord's church.
Amen.
Brother Tim, would you come and lead us in a little bit now?
Number 123.
You come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's stand and just sing a couple of verses in closing. You never surrendered to the scriptural baptism. That's the very first step of being obedient to God. Perhaps the second, obedience to the gospel is first, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But then the next step of obedience is through the waters of baptism, to serve Him in His church. And that's where God meets with His people in a special way. God bless you. Let's sing a couple of verses.
Thank you for the message.
receive the blessings of our Lord and be with everyone that has come out this way this morning to hear thy word and pray for the ones that there on our prayer list, Lord. You know their each and every needs, Father. To be your will, that you will heal them, Father, and be with them to make them comfort, Father. We pray this morning, Father, that you go with our country and the other our leaders, and Father, we pray you be with them and guide them where they should go. Be with these other countries, Father, be with Israel, Father. Pray for all the innocent people, Father, and just be with their families there. And Lord, we ask, Lord, just go with us now. Forgive us of our sins, Father, and thank you for the food that's provided today for the ones staying to eat, Lord. We ask the blessing for them and bless the hands that prepared it for us, Father. And forgive us once again. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.